Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I mean, I've had rough days. I expect myself to go out there. I think I'm the toughest on myself. I go out there and I mess up a play. I've thrown a pick in mini camp and things like that. Being tough on myself, but also having an understanding of where we are and where I am, and you know, the progression, like I said before, is key. And those bad times, it's not a time to have self-doubt. That's just a waste of time. It's a time to, you know, keep growing, keep progressing, and keep believing in yourself.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me entering hour three, third and final hour of the show. Been talking Bears with you for the last hour. Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. And I'll be talking Bears with you for the next hour, including open up the phone lines and the text lines again at 820 at 312-644-6767. But joining me to talk about that football team right now, covers the Bears for the Bear Report and Windy City Gridiron. Pleasure to welcome in Aaron Lemming. Aaron, how are you this evening, my man?
I'm doing well. How about you, sir?
I'm doing good. I was talking before the break. I was getting a little worked up, as us sports talk radio guys do, and just saying, you know, if and when things might go wrong or Caleb Williams has a rookie moment this year, I'm not going to point any fingers at him, and I'm also not going to give the excuse to Matt Eberflus or Ryan Poles or anybody else in the Bears organization of, oh, they got a rookie quarterback. You got to give them some time. Is that fair, or is my leash a little too short as a fan here, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's a tough calculus, right? Because the Bears decided this offseason to keep Matt Eberflus as their head coach. And, mm-hmm. I mean, through 2 years, they have not put together a good record. And, I mean, frankly, I think in a lot of situations, Matt Eberflus would have been fired, especially when you're talking about bringing in, you know, a number one overall pick at quarterback to kind of lead the franchise. So it's a tough situation, because I think on one hand, you're looking at this and you say, okay, if they don't deliver this year, Matt Eberflus needs to be gone, but then you're following the same exact script that you've done the last two times with Trubisky and Fields. So here's where I'm at. I think that Caleb Williams should have a very good rookie year. Maybe not as good as C.J. Stroud, because, I mean, in a lot of ways that was historic and, you know, more the minority than anything. But at the same time, he's also coming in with a quality offensive line. I wouldn't go too far there, but quality offensive line. I mean, he's got DJ Moore and Keenan Allen as his top two receivers. Oh, and his number three receiver happens to be the number nine overall pick in the draft. He's got, you know, there's plenty of weapons on the offensive side of the ball. Plus, they've had a really good defense the last half of the year. So I think in terms of expectations for Caleb Williams and expectations for the Bears, I think you kind of have to be a little measured, but I think anything below nine wins is a failure for the team. And I think as far as Caleb Williams go, I mean, we need to come out of this year knowing that this is going to be the guy. If this goes down the same road that we've seen with Trubisky, we've seen with Fields where he struggles this year, then there's going to be some issues.
Since we're down this dark road, and then I promise I'll make things bright again. But since we're down this dark road, if this season doesn't go the way that the Bears envision it and the way a lot of Bears fans want it to go, I think we're on the same page that Matt Eberflus probably won't be around for that. Does Ryan Poles' seat start to get a little hot? Because I was saying before the break, a lot of the stuff he's done looks great on paper and by design and theory, however you want to put it. But at the end of the day, if this ends up with, as you put it, less than nine wins, he has three losing seasons to show for everything he's done as the Bears general manager.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. I feel like in some ways, Poles married himself to Eberflus. Obviously, we don't really know what happened behind the scenes in terms of if this was an ownership decision with money or if this was truly Ryan Poles saying, this is my guy, you know, we're going to either succeed together or go down together. I do think he has a longer leash than Matt Eberflus. But again, it's one of those, you know, and I wrote about this earlier this offseason, you have to stop repeating the history when it comes to being a quarterback in Chicago. You have to stop replacing that, you know, that second-year quarterback after a rough rookie season. You have to stop replacing the head coach. You have to stop replacing everything that goes with it. And they put themselves in a tough spot. I do think that Poles has done a good job overall of building the roster. I mean, obviously, there's been some mistakes along the way. I do think he's learned. I don't love how conservative he tends to be in free agency overall. I know that can be a, you know, a high-risk, low-reward type of situation. But at the same time, I mean, you're kind of looking at this team right now. They got a lot of resources moving in the next few years. So I do think, regardless of what happens, unless it's a complete disaster, Caleb Williams looks terrible, they win four games, I think Ryan Poles will be back regardless. But I do think if there's no real progress being shown, I mean, they really weren't a very good football team last year for the majority of the year, and they still won as many games as they did, right? So it's like you're kind of looking at it, it's like it shouldn't be too hard for them to win nine games this year. It shouldn't be overly challenging, especially at a weak NFC, for them to make the playoffs. Now, I'm not saying that should be the expectation, but, you know, a winning season should be on the table. Anything less than that, I think that Matt Eberflus is probably gone. And at that point, yeah, you start questioning Ryan Poles a little bit. And it's like, it looks good on paper, but if it's not producing out on the field, what's really going on here?
Speaking of looking good on paper, I think the hiring of Shane Waldron looks good on paper. I think coordinator hires almost always do. You know, those guys, they get promotions essentially for great good performance previously in their work history. And then eventually they run into a job that they can't do. You know what I mean? You never know what you don't know. How confident are you that Shane Waldron can come in here and be a significant upgrade on Luke Getsy?
You know, I'm going to sit this one out because the last few times the Bears have hired offensive minds, I'm like, this has got to be the guy, right? You know, Lou Getsy, it's like the amount of praise. I know he didn't really have a ton of play calling experience, but the amount of praise that he had from Aaron Rodgers, you're thinking, okay, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game is saying this is one of his favorite guys he's ever been around, one of the smartest guys he's ever been around. This has got to work. And then we saw it the last 2 years. I don't think it was all on him, but I do think when you're really looking at it, I mean, there were a lot of flaws there. So Waldron is proven. He should have, in my opinion, at least a similar talent level. I mean, obviously, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. I mean, they had some good talent. And then, you know, obviously what was able to happen with Geno Smith at quarterback over the last few years, which is nothing short of remarkable considering how below average he was for his entire career up until that point. But again, you start looking at some of these moves and some of these hires, and it's like, Waldron's the offensive coordinator in Chicago, and yet the guy that was under him for a little bit, happens to be a head coach right now for the Carolina Panthers. So it's one of those things where I think you kind of have to look at it. and you have to kind of, you know, weigh what's going on and kind of see. I do think Waldron is going to be a good hire. But again, like you said, anything can look good on paper. You can talk yourself into anything. I'm glad they didn't go with a guy that didn't have any play calling experience. But it's, I don't know, you look at the Bears' history of offense, the Bears' history of quarterbacks, it's hard to feel too confident until you see it play out, even with as much talent as they have right now. It's like they had Mark Trestman, who was an awful head coach, but he was a pretty good offensive mind, and they had really good offenses for 2 years, and they didn't have a defense. So it's like you kind of expect if the offense gets better, something bad's going to happen with the defense or whatever the case may be.
Talking with Aaron Lemming, covers the Bears for the Bear Report in Windy City. Gridiron here on the Score. And you brought up that defense, and we saw a leap forward for that defense last year in the second half of that season. How much were you buying into that, and that it's something that they can ride into and replicate this year, or maybe even build on and improve?
So I really like the back seven. Really, I like their linebackers. I mean, you almost feel forced to like the linebackers at this point. I mean, they're spending $24.5 million a year on the two guys between Edmonds and Edwards. And then obviously, I think their secondary is in really good shape. But again, kind of looking the same way as the offensive line. We talked about this on the podcast earlier. You're looking at the trenches, and Ryan Pohl said that he wanted to build through the trenches, and to a certain extent he has. I'm not discounting it, and obviously this year you had to spend resources on the offense. That's something that many Bears GMs have not done in years past. But I think when you're looking at the defense, the one really big question mark right now is the defensive line, both defensive tackle and defensive end. And I think that somewhat limits their ceiling. It's like, yeah, you got Montez Sweat, but then what do you have after that in terms of proven talent? I mean, you hope that Jervon Dexter takes a step up and becomes the three tech that they've been looking for since Matt Eberflus took over. But at the same time, I mean, you got DeMarcus Walker, who's probably a better rotational defensive lineman, you know, whether it's inside a defensive tackle or at a defensive end. There's just not a lot of depth. And in terms of their overall starters, I mean, Billings is a good nose tackle, but behind them, I mean, you've got Zach Pickens, and I guess, I mean, you got a conglomeration of names that really haven't spent much time on an NFL roster. So it'll be interesting to see, because Ryan Pohl did say, he said that, you know, they're happy with what they have right now. They want to see it all play out. But at the same time, they're going to kind of keep an eye on the market. Well, Yannick Ngakoue, who wasn't good last year at all, I will say that much, but this is going to be a second workout. He's going to work out with the Panthers tonight and tomorrow. So you're kind of running a little bit low on those options. Defensive tackle, there's nothing out there unless you're making a trade. But I do think at some point in time before the season starts, you need to add some sort of rotational depth in terms of a pass rusher, and it's probably going to be defensive end.
You know, it feels a lot like, I don't know if you're a baseball guy at all, Aaron, but coming into this Cubs season, a lot of Cubs fans were looking at it and going, this looks good. I wish they'd done something about that bullpen. And then the bullpen ended up being the thing that sort of tanked the season over the course of 2 months. Could that happen with the, because we're all looking at it. It's glaring. I don't think anybody, it's not, you know, a mystery to anybody that they need some defensive line help. Could we be looking back at the decision to sort of sit things out and not add to that defensive line if things go wrong this season?
I do, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, Matt Eberflus has talked about it multiple times, you know, and it's funny because he says that he's like the defensive line is the catalyst to his defense. But even if you go back and you look at a lot of his production and with his defenses in Indianapolis, they were never super high in pressure rates. They were never super high with sack rates. I mean, they did well. But in reality, this isn't, for as much as people like to make the comparison to the Lovie Smith Tampa 2 defense, this isn't the same defense. It doesn't have the same type of production quality. Now, what I will say is the secondary is really good. I do think, and I know PFF tends to disagree, I don't think they had them in the top 10. I do think that the Bears are probably going to end up having a top five to seven secondary when this is all said and done. Linebackers should be good as long as no health, you know, issues pop up. But again, I mean, barring somebody like a Jervon Dexter stepping up, maybe Zach Pickens breaks out in year two. I mean, he seems kind of like the overlooked guy right now. But unless one of those guys really break out, it's just hard to consistently see where that pass rushing is going to come from. I mean, Austin Booker's a rookie. I think a lot of people would agree he probably should have stayed in school. He didn't. He came out. And in terms of like body mass, he's a little underdeveloped. It's probably going to take him a year or so to kind of get that NFL weight on. So you're not looking at a lot of solid options. I do think that the floor for this defense is probably much higher than we envisioned a year ago, But at the same time, in terms of a ceiling, it's hard to see this being a top, let's just say, 3 to 5 unit unless they actually have at least a middle of the road defensive line and pressure rate. And right now, I don't see how that's going to happen with just one guy in Montez Sweat. There's going to have to be multiple guys step up.
Who's a guy not named Caleb Williams that is most crucial to the Bears' success this year?
Oh, man. One guy. See, I would probably have to say, you know what? I'd probably have to say Keenan Allen at this point. And it's funny because somebody asked me, like it was a fantasy podcast that I did the other day, and they were asking me who I thought between DJ Moore and Keenan Allen was going to be more important for Caleb Williams this year. And I think if you look at Keenan Allen's skill set and what he does for young quarterbacks, being able to get open, being as good against zone coverage as he is, I think that he's going to be a crucial part, and it kind of ties into Caleb Williams, but I think he's going to be a crucial part to keeping a young quarterback, especially early in the season where the offensive line may have a little bit of ups and downs. I think he's going to be a very crucial part of the passing game and keeping a rookie quarterback comfortable.
And last one for you, and this isn't a prediction. I'm not going to, you know, freezing cold takes you at the end of the season or anything like that. And you don't even have to put an exact number on it. You could ballpark it. What is, because Bears fans are either like cautiously optimistic like I am, or it's like, I don't know, wait and see. Or they're like off the rails excited about what Ryan Poles has done, what this roster looks like, Caleb Williams, everything that goes with it. What's a realistic expectation for this Bears team, wins and losses, when all is said and done this year?
I'd say 13-4, loss in the Super Bowl. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. No, you know, it's funny. I've run this back a few times now, and because I do this every year, and I try to do it, you know, obviously for the Bears and for the NFL as a whole. I would say I keep coming back to either 9-8 or 10-7. I think fighting for that final wild card spot should be the goal. Hey, if they make it to the playoffs and they get a win, great. But I think even getting into the playoffs would be a pretty considerable success, especially when you look at this roster, what it was 3 years ago. So I try to keep it realistic. I do think a winning season is a must at this point. I know they got a rookie quarterback, but still, I mean, this is not a typical number one overall quarterback type of roster. It's time to make the step forward. Frankly, they could have easily have won 9 games last year if they didn't have those blunders in the fourth quarter. So I think 9 wins is a pretty reasonable expectation at this point.
That was going to be my last question, but your answer sparked another one. One of the things that might get in the way of some success this year, they're in a very good division. They were 2-4 in the division last year. We know about the Lions. We know about the Packers. I think the Vikings could even be better than a lot of people are expecting, depending how their quarterback situation plays out. How would you stack the NFC North right now, and how far ahead of the Bears are whoever it is that you have ahead of the Bears?
Well, I would have it probably a 1A, 1B type situation with the Packers and Lions. I'd almost kind of lean Packers right now. I mean, it's kind of hard not to after, you know, how impressive they were in the last, you know, the second half of last year. I would say the Bears are probably third right now. I do like them a little bit more than Minnesota just because I think Minnesota's transitioning a little bit more. But I think head-to-head, the Bears match up well against the Lions. We saw that last year. But until the Bears beat the Packers, which has been, 2018 was the last time they beat them, you can't rate them in front of the Packers no matter how much you want to. So I think they're a comfortable third right now. I think, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm still a little shocked that the Lions gave Jared Goff that type of contract. I get why they did it. But it just feels like there's a ceiling to that team. So, hey, maybe they end up finishing second. I don't see a very realistic path to them winning the division without figuring out how to beat the Packers at least once.
That's Aaron Lemming. Check out his work for the Bear Report and Windy City Gridiron, and my guest for the last few minutes here. Really appreciate the time and the insight, Aaron. Have a good night, my man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
And he joins me on the Score Hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Since 2018, they haven't beat the Packers. And I know that hurts for all Bears fans. And I don't want to, like, you know, have a pity party here on the air or anything, but it hurts me a little bit more. Okay, I'm just going to say it. I live in Milwaukee. I work up there. Got a lot of friends for some reason that are Packers fan, and then throw on what the Brewers are doing to the Cubs right now after we stole Craig Counsell from them. This kind of sucks. It kind of sucks.
You just can't avoid it. You're just stuck there.
Yeah. I'm like knee deep in it, dude. And I'm tired of hearing from these people. I said it to Herm Edwards before. If Jordan Love ends up being as good as it looks like he might be, I might just quit. I might just quit football. You know what I mean? I know I'm being a baby and I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. But man, you're talking about like damn near 50 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play.
And the Bears can't even get one.
Can't get one? Like what? No, I'm not, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. Unless it's like, you know, Caleb versus Jordan Love for the next 20 years and they're just trading blows and one gets a Super Bowl, then the other gets a Super Bowl. I could maybe live with that. But they can't just keep kicking our ass, dude. I can't take it anymore without just taking my ball and going home. It sucks. It sucks. And again, it sucks for all of us, but it sucks a little bit more for me. I'm just going to put that out there. Something's got to turn, man. Somebody's got to do something to make my life better. The Bears, the Cubs, the Bulls aren't going to do it. Yeah, that's not going to happen. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, the Bears talk continues. I was saying before the break, asking before the break, does the attention, the spotlight, the heat on Caleb Williams take any of the heat off other people in the Bears organization? 312-644-6767. And what are fair expectations for Caleb Williams and the Bears this year? I'll take your calls. I'll read your text at 312-644-6767 when I return right here on 670 The Score.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
We're constantly kind of going back and forth, like short-term thinking and long-term. But right now, I mean, this is kind of a different situation we've been in the first 2 years. You know, a lot of these position battles are going to be tight, and it gets harder and harder to kind of create that 53-man roster just because there's an influx of talent. So it's challenging, but it's a good problem to have.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me. That was Ryan Poles talking about this roster being a hard one to make this year for the Chicago Bears. I'm optimistic, just like guarded, cautious optimism. And I was saying before, I got no patience for losing and growing pains. Not for Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, I'm going to give time to grow. But this team should be good enough around Caleb Williams. This roster that Ryan Poles assembled should be better. Should be able to pick a rookie up when he has rookie moments. Shane Waldron should be better for his quarterback than Luke Getsy was for his quarterback. And Matt Eberflus has to be a better coach. Has to. And I expect this team to win, even if Caleb Williams has some rookie mistakes, rookie moments, growing pains, whatever you want to call them. This team should be good enough. This organization, I should say, should be good enough around him that you can still win games. How many games? I looked at this schedule, and I'm not going to do the whole win-loss thing, You can get in on the show at 312-644-6767. I see a couple of you there that have been holding a while as we had just talked with Aaron Lemming from the Bear Report and Windy City Gridiron. I'm going to get to you in just 1 second. I looked at the schedule, and I'm not going to do the whole win-loss thing, go down it all. I saw 10 winnable games on there. Now, I'll give them one, like, fluky week of those 10 winnable games. I'll give them, like, one fluke where you just go, what the hell just happened? Or there's an injury, or, the you know, the ball bounces funny. I'll give them one. This team, and Aaron Lemming said the same thing when I just talked to him, this team has to win at least 9 games before I start looking. Well, I'm already looking at Matt Eberflus, like, what exactly do you do here? But I'm gonna question Ryan Poles too, man. I'm gonna question the whole thing, the whole plan. If this ends up being less than a 9-win team, that means that something beyond Caleb Williams just doing rookie things went terribly wrong. That means that this roster wasn't as good as it looks on paper. That means Waldron wasn't the guy we thought he was to come in here and finally get it right as an offensive coordinator. It means Eberflus, new beard and haircut and all, was still the same coach who lost you 3 games last year. 9 wins at least. Or I'm going to not have a lot of patience for what's going on at Halas Hall. As far as Caleb Williams goes, I'm not putting, like, just have, and this isn't saying much, have the best rookie season that a Bears quarterback has ever had. Like, that sounds hyperbolic, but when you look at the history of Bears quarterbacks, it's not much. I don't need 4,000 yards. I don't need 30 touchdowns. I don't need you to carry the Bears to a championship. Just, you know, have the best rookie season a Bears quarterback has ever had. As a team, like I said, 9 wins at least. So what are fair expectations, and how much pressure is on some of these guys if they don't meet them? 312-644-6767. Let's go out to the phones and right out to Russ. Russ, you're on the score. What's up, buddy?
Thanks for having me, Rob. I think you can't have a real good assessment of Eberflus until after, because the first 2 years he was saddled with Fields. Probably the most incompetent guy I've seen in a long time. He fumbled more than anybody else in football. He could never find receivers. He couldn't throw a 7 to 20 yard pass to save his soul. And I'm sure he confused every offensive lineman, because they never knew where he was after the snap. So I think there's a lot of upside, and Caleb doesn't have to worry about a very low bar with regard to his predecessor.
I appreciate the call. And I'm not saying that, you know, Justin Fields didn't do a lot to lead to the dysfunction and lack of success for the Bears here the last 3 years. He certainly wears a lot of it. But, man, there were 3 games last year that you could have won with Justin Fields at quarterback. Well, one of them might have been while he was hurt. I don't know exactly. But there were 3 games last year the Bears could have won that they lost because of Matt Eberflus. We're talking about a 10-win season. We're probably not even talking about a new quarterback right now if Matt Eberflus wins those 3 games. Because are you really moving on from a guy after 10 wins and you probably make the playoffs? Probably not. And for as bad as we expected the Bears to be, or however bad it looked on paper, however bad they were trying to be by design, as they tore the roster down and tried to tank and compile assets like draft picks and blah, blah, blah. You really think the plan was ever to be so bad that you lost 14 straight games? and gave up 25 or more points in those 14 games? Like, that's... it's hard to be that bad. You have to try to be that bad. And have things go out of your control, go against you to be that bad. Like, I was looking at Matt Eberflus at that point going, man, I know, like, they're not giving you a lot to work with, but should it look like this? Should it look like this? Should it look this bad? Because I don't think it should. I don't think it should ever be that bad that you lose 14 straight games. Talk about Justin Fields all you want. A head coach wears 14 straight losses, and a defensive head coach wears 14 straight losses in which you gave up 25 points or more. Has to. You can't sit here today and tell me that you have no doubts about Matt Eberflus or we have to give him time. He's racked up some pretty horrendous achievements. Even for a team that wasn't trying to win. If that makes any sense. Matt, you're on 670 The Score. What's up, Matt?
Hey, I want to tell you, I agree with your take on a couple of things for sure. The 10 wins is exactly my number. That's where I think they should be. And if it's a fluky win or loss, it could be 12, it could be 9. I don't know, but that's a good take. The most important thing I want to bring up is I think Poles inherited Flus and he inherited Fields. And on the surface, he said, yeah, I'm behind my guys 100%. But behind the scenes, we don't know what him and Warren are cooking up, right? So I think they brought in Shane Waldron with the express intent of taking Flus out of the offense, bringing in a guy who's a proven OC, but who was also like one of the top candidates for a head coaching job this year. And he took the job for the Bears, knowing that if Flus falls on his face, he's going to be the next head coach for the Bears. And I think it's a win-win with Waldron in the driving seat.
I appreciate the call, Matt. I do think that I did think, and it might be the case, that the hiring of Eberflus wasn't entirely in Ryan Poles' hands. They had hired consultants and blah blah blah, and they got the job one day after the other. I don't know, but once you bring him back after last year, and while you're drafting a quarterback with the number one pick, Ryan Poles owns Matt Eberflus at this point. That's his guy. That's his coach. Now he'll get another one if it doesn't work out, but that's his coach. I don't think that we can sit here and go, that's not Ryan Poles' fault if Matt Eberflus turns out to be a disaster of a head coach this year, as he has been the first 2 years. No, now they are connected. Not attached at the hip. Again, Ryan Poles will get another one if this doesn't work out. But that's his dude now. There's no way around that. That's his dude. To bring him back to start this new era, I'm sorry, but they're connected. As far as Waldron replacing Eberflus, that would mean that he did a real good job as offensive coordinator, which I think would mean they won a bunch of football games, which I have a hard time imagining a reality where they win a bunch of football games but fire their head coach. If anything, if Shane Waldron has a good year or two as Bears offensive coordinator, he'll be the head coach of another team, which is one of the reasons I don't like hiring a defensive-minded head coach. Your quarterback is going to have to learn a new system and new coach every 2 or 3 years because he was good. And people are like, we want that guy. Just hire an offensive-minded head coach, attach him at the hip with Caleb Williams, and let's go. But that's not what they did. One more call, and then we're going to talk with Bart Winkler of Infinity Sports Radio. He's on The Score weekdays, 10 to 1. He'll join me for the final segment. He'll rub a little salt in the wounds being a Brewers fan, talk Packers-Bears, what he thinks the Bears could do this year in the division, all that coming up. But let me talk with Matt. You're on The Score before we talk with Bart. What's up, Matt? Oh, we dropped Matt. And you know what? We're due for a break anyways. So why don't I go ahead and do that, and we'll give Bart a little more time in the final segment. I'm Rami Makhlouf. I'm with you on 670 The Score on a Wednesday evening. Bart Winkler of Infinity Sports Radio. He'll join me right after this.
We're back live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me. I'm on The Score with you on a Wednesday evening. I'll make way at 9 o'clock for BetQL. And then at 10 o'clock, it's the one and only Bart Winkler on the Infinity Sports Network. He's going to join me in just a second. I did want to read this text. Are you the last person on Earth to realize 2022 was a tank? I wanted Eberflus fired. Never would have hired him, but the plan in 2022 was clearly to tear everything down and start over. Yeah, what I'm saying is it's hard to be that bad even when you're trying to be bad. That's my point. Like, Matt Eberflus made things even worse than they had planned on them being, in my opinion. But as I said, joining me now, joining me now, you'll hear him at 10 o'clock right here on The Score on the Infinity Sports Network. Which mic are you on? Oh, jeez. This check, is great radio. Check, there he is. Check, all right. There check, he is. Bart Winkler.
Check.
On Infinity Sports Network. Bart, you're wearing your Brewers hat today. You just put the dirt on the Cubs' grave with that series victory today. And that's got to feel really good with the whole Craig
Cubs
Council
put
thing.
The dirt on the Cubs season when they hired Craig Council.
You see,
we tried to warn you guys, he's not a good manager.
You did not.
We weren't acting sad about it and like we just got dumped.
No, you were. That's exactly what you're doing. You were all sad to see him go.
No.
And you were mad at ownership for being cheap and not ponying up to keep him when you had a chance. That's how y'all were feeling like 6 months ago.
We weren't like totally being whiny babies online, were we?
You still are.
That was us.
You literally still are. You can't let this thing go.
So the fact that he is now a Cubs manager aside, I wonder myself when I watch him and I watch the comments about, was that Morrell swinging for the lake?
Yeah.
That comment.
Yeah, and he said bad take.
Yeah. Very performative, by the way, from him. Has he always been this unlikable and I just didn't realize it? Or is he just this unlikable because he's losing?
I don't think his personality has changed much. If you want to label it as unlikable, that's up to you. I just find him to be very, I don't know.
Are Cubs fans giving him the benefit of the doubt and they like him?
I think he's losing some of the benefit of the doubt. I would say 30 to 40% of Cubs fans are at least starting to question this move and if he was worth the money and pushing a Cubs legend out the door. Yeah, I think that those questions are starting to swirl. I'm not. I still think he's a very good manager. And I don't think his personality, like I said, has really changed. He's always been this kind. He's always been, what's the word? Even keeled. That's the word I was looking for. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. Sometimes his monotone response and non-emotional response to reporters and interviewers comes off as snippy. I don't think it is. Well, that the bad take thing with Jesse Rogers about the Christopher Morrell swinging for the lake or whatever he said, that was, he got snippy for sure. But
yeah,
there were times he got snippy in Milwaukee.
Well, and I think, like, what does a manager do? What do you hire a manager for? Sure, he fills out the lineup card and makes pitching changes in the seventh inning or, you know, there's very minor things that he does. They're not out there before every game, like coaching the fundamentals as much. But I think what a manager brings is sort of a vibe to the team. I do think that if you look at the Brewers now, this is a team that probably had, and they might be out without Christian Yelich now for maybe the year, but you look at them, and they are not a team that on paper should be this
no,
good.
No, they're not.
But they I think, are kind of emblematic of the tone and the vibe that Pat Murphy
See,
is setting.
And I said earlier in the show, the vibe of this Cubs team is not great.
I think that's the that's reflective of the vibe of Craig Council.
They don't seem to be having fun.
Because Craig Council doesn't have fun.
No, but the Brewers were able to have plenty of fun. He never got in the way of fun when he was the Brewers manager. I think
this is a completely different team than
I've seen
under Council.
I just don't think they have the right mix of person. I said before, I want a diva in that clubhouse. I want a guy who spices things up a little, a guy who's a little loud, a guy who's a little boisterous, who's going to slap a guy on the butt on their way out of the dugout. Like somebody who's going to... Justin Steele, I loved when he came charging into the dugout and threw his glove and told everybody to wake the bleep up. They need something like... Craig Council was never like the rah-rah manager or the flip the training table over manager, but he was also never a guy to stop fun. The Brewers had a different fun celebration every year and always had guys who, you know, would celebrate home runs. He was never a Tony La Russa. It was like, don't pick your own runs.
Right.
Don't toss your bats. Don't celebrate. Craig Counsell has no problem with fun. He's not going to supply it, but he has no problem with the fun being there. I just don't think they have a good mix of personalities on that baseball team.
Well, one thing my wife will tell me sometimes is when I'm like feeling anxious.
Yeah.
Or I'm expressing some level of anxiety.
Sure.
Just by being around me, she will get anxious.
Yeah.
And like it will rub off on her.
So, you're saying that's the effect Craig Counsell has on the Cubs?
Yeah, like you can be having fun on the field and you come into the clubhouse and there's a guy combing his hands through his hair.
Yeah, no. No, yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. And now it kills the vibe a little bit. And it's like, yeah, this kind of sucks.
We only got a couple minutes left, and then I'm going to make way for BetQL and then you at 10 o'clock. Bart Winkler on the Infinity Sports Radio Network. Catch him coming up at 10 right here on the Score. And you've heard me say this before, I'm sure. If Jordan Love turns out to be, and somebody was like, pump your brakes, slow your roll, and Jordan Love being a Hall of Famer. I'm saying if, all right?
Sure.
Jordan Love is a Hall of Famer, and I'm, as a Bears fan, looking at 50 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play, back to back to back, I quit football. I quit football. And on top of that, I'm ready to just quit sports, the way that the Wisconsin-Illinois thing has played out over the last few years. Who, in your opinion, is it Caleb Williams and the Bears? Who in Chicago has the best chance of making me feel a little better and you as a Wisconsin sports fan a little worse in the near future?
Well, I wouldn't mind if the Bears were good. I'd kind of want to like experience this rivalry.
That'd be fun.
I've never really experienced it in my whole life.
You son of a bitch.
I've never.
You son of a bitch.
I mean, I was born in 84. They won in 85.
I hate you so much.
The Bears made a Super Bowl. I was at the year that the Packers still beat them twice. They won 13 games. Packers still beat them twice.
You made that sound like not only a good and thoughtful and nuanced answer, but also one that made you sympathetic to Bears fans, when in the end it was just a way to rub salt in the wounds that this hasn't been a rivalry in almost 30 years.
And I think they win 9 games.
That's what I said. I said 9-10 is where the bar is set. Thank you, Bart, for joining me. I can't wait to hear you at 10 o'clock right here on the Score.
Yeah, you're not going to be listening.
Also, thanks to Matthew Trueblood, who covers the Cubs for Northside Baseball, Herm Edwards of ESPN, former NFL and college football coach, and Aaron Lemming of the Bear Report, and Robbie Triano back in the studio on the ones and twos, and all of you for listening and contributing. I'm Rami Makhlouf. I've been with you right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Talk to you next time.
We're back, live with more Rami Makhlouf on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
That's me. I'm on The Score with you on a Wednesday evening. I'll make way at 9 o'clock for BetQL. And then at 10 o'clock, it's the one and only Bart Winkler on the Infinity Sports Network. He's going to join me in just a second. I did want to read this text. Are you the last person on Earth to realize 2022 was a tank? I wanted Eberflus fired. Never would have hired him, but the plan in 2022 was clearly to tear everything down and start over. Yeah, what I'm saying is it's hard to be that bad even when you're trying to be bad. That's my point. Like, Matt Eberflus made things even worse than they had planned on them being, in my opinion. But as I said, joining me now, is that the wrong mic? Joining me now, you'll hear him at 10 o'clock right here on The Score on the Infinity Sports Network. Which mic are you on?
Check.
Oh, jeez. This check. Is great radio.
Check.
There he is.
Check.
All right, there
check.
He is. Bart Winkler.
Check, 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 check.
On Infinity Sports Network. Bart, you're wearing your Brewers hat today. You just put the dirt on the Cubs' grave with that series victory today. And that's got to feel really good with the whole... With the whole
the
Craig
Cubs
Counsell
put
thing.
The dirt on the Cubs season when they hired Craig Counsell.
You see,
we tried to warn you guys; he's not a good manager.
You did not.
We weren't acting sad about it, and like we just got dumped.
No, you were. That's exactly what you're doing. You were all sad to see him go,
no.
And you were mad at ownership for being cheap and not ponying up to keep him when you had a chance. That's how y'all were feeling like 6 months ago.
We weren't like totally being whiny babies online, were we?
You still are.
That was us.
You literally still are. You can't let this thing go.
So the fact that he is now a Cubs manager aside, I wonder myself when I watch him and I watch the comments about, was that Morrell swinging for the lake?
Yeah.
That comment.
Yeah, and he said bad take.
Yeah. Very performative, by the way, from him. Has he always been this unlikable and I just didn't realize it? Or is he just this unlikable because he's losing?
I don't think his personality has changed much. If you want to label it as unlikable, that's up to you. I just find him to be very, I don't know.
Are Cubs fans giving him the benefit of the doubt and they like him?
I think he's losing some of the benefit of the doubt. I would say 30 to 40% of Cubs fans are at least starting to question this move and if he was worth the money and pushing a Cubs legend out the door. Yeah, I think that those questions are starting to swirl. I'm not. I still think he's a very good manager. And I don't think his personality, like I said, has really changed. He's always been this kind. He's always been, what's the word? Even keeled. That's the word I was looking for. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. Sometimes his monotone response and non-emotional response to reporters and interviewers comes off as snippy. I don't think it is. Well, that the bad take thing with Jesse Rogers about the Christopher Morrell swinging for the lake or whatever he said, that was, he got snippy for sure. But yeah, there were times he got snippy in Milwaukee.
Well, and I think, like, what does a manager do? What do you hire a manager for? Sure, he fills out the lineup card and makes pitching changes in the seventh inning or, you know, there's very minor things that he does. They're not out there before every game, like coaching the fundamentals as much. But I think what a manager brings is sort of a vibe to the team. I do think that if you look at the Brewers now, this is a team that probably had, and they might be out without Christian Yelich now for maybe the year, but you look at them and they are not a team that on paper should be this good.
No, they're not.
But they I think are kind of emblematic of the tone and the vibe that Pat Murphy is setting.
And I said earlier in the show, the vibe of this Cubs team is not great.
I think that's the that's reflective of the vibe of Craig Counsell.
They don't seem to be having fun.
Because Craig Counsell doesn't have fun.
No, but the Brewers were able to have plenty of fun. He never got in the way of fun when he was the Brewers manager. I think
this is a completely different team than I've seen under Counsell.
I just don't think they have the right mix of person. I said before, I want a diva in that clubhouse. I want a guy who spices things up a little, a guy who's a little loud, a guy who's a little boisterous, who's going to slap a guy on the butt on their way out of the dugout. Like somebody who's going to... Justin Steele, I loved when he came charging into the dugout and threw his glove and told everybody to wake the bleep up. They need something like... Craig Counsell was never like the rah-rah manager or the flip the training table over manager, but he was also never a guy to stop fun. The Brewers had a different fun celebration every year and always had guys who, you know, would celebrate home runs. He was never a Tony La Russa. It was like, don't pick your home runs.
Right.
Don't toss your bats. Don't celebrate. Craig Counsell has no problem with fun. He's not going to supply it, but he has no problem with the fun being there. I just don't think they have a good mix of personalities on that baseball team.
Well, one thing my wife will tell me sometimes is when I'm like feeling anxious,
yeah,
or I'm expressing some level of anxiety.
Sure.
Just by being around me, she will get anxious.
Yeah.
And, like, it will rub off on her.
So, you're saying that's the effect Craig Counsell has on the Cubs?
Yeah, like, you can be having fun on the field, and you come into the clubhouse, and there's a guy combing his hands through his hair.
Yeah, no. No, yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. And now it kills the vibe a little bit. And it's like, yeah, this kind of sucks.
We only got a couple minutes left, and then I'm going to make way for BetQL and then you at 10 o'clock. Bart Winkler on the Infinity Sports Radio Network. Catch him coming up at 10 right here on The Score. And you've heard me say this before, I'm sure. If Jordan Love turns out to be, and somebody was like, pump your brakes, slow your roll, and Jordan Love being a Hall of Famer. I'm saying if, all right?
Sure.
Jordan Love is a Hall of Famer, and I'm, as a Bears fan, looking at 50 years of Hall of Fame quarterback play, back to back to back, I quit football. I quit football. And on top of that, I'm ready to just quit sports, the way that the Wisconsin-Illinois thing has played out over the last few years. Who, in your opinion, is it Caleb Williams and the Bears? Who in Chicago has the best chance of making me feel a little better and you as a Wisconsin sports fan a little worse in the near future.
Well, I wouldn't mind if the Bears were good. I'd kind of want to like experience this rivalry.
That'd be fun.
I've never really experienced it in my whole life.
You son of a bitch.
I've never.
You son of a
I mean,
bitch.
I was born in 84. They won in 85.
I hate you so much.
The Bears made a Super Bowl. I was that the year that the Packers still beat them twice? They won 13 games. Packers still beat them twice.
You made that sound like not only a good and thoughtful and nuanced answer, but also one that made you sympathetic to Bears fans, when in the end, it was just a way to rub salt in the wounds that this hasn't been a rivalry in almost 30 years.
And I think they win 9 games.
That's what I said. I said 9-10 is where the bar is set. Thank you, Bart, for joining me. I can't wait to hear you at 10 o'clock right here on The Score.
Yeah, you're not going to be listening.
Also, thanks to Matthew Trueblood, who covers the Cubs for Northside Baseball, Herm Edwards of ESPN, former NFL and college football coach, and Aaron Lemming of The Bear Report, and Robbie Triano back in the studio on the ones and twos, and all of you for listening and contributing. I'm Rami Makhlouf. I've been with you right here on Sports Radio 670. The Score. Talk to you next time.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.